Right, my name is Andrew Cade. I farm the Glenbrae property at Pogamari in conjunction with my family, and I also work full-time as a technical field rep for PGG Rodsons. Glenbrae is a mixed sheep, beef and deer farm of approximately 350 hectares in two properties. It's a smaller property at the top left. And larger property bottom right. So we're on both properties are mixed contour. We're breeding, finishing operation in their sheep and deer, and also a velvet operation. Our cattle policy is to buy local weaner Angus beef heifers and take them through to slaughter, or maybe through to and book calf to as replacement heifers, depending on the market. We've completed the land environment plan stage one and utilised various mitigation strategies, follow best practice farming policies, and have completed numerous plantings since the late 70s for shelter, forestry and amenities. All watersheds leaving the properties have either plantings, forestry or ponds within their catchment. Can you go to that riparian one? So this is the type of riparian stuff we're trying to do in each catchment. We follow best practice and try to minimise soil damage through the use of temporary fencing and standoff pads at key times. We intensively use temporary fencing both for winter crop and grass management, and also on some waterways due to the frequency of having to get a digger in to maintain some ditches with limited fall and a large number of poplars in our planting history. That one there. So the amount of leaf drop we get causes us issues with no fall. There's no gradient in the creek, and it's got a both a sandstone and a papa base, so we're limited to that fall going into a river. We've progressively fenced off waterways, but it is time consuming and costly exercise. On average, it has been costing us between $16 and $24 per metre in our better contoured paddocks. Another part of this issue is that the larger property has no stock water scheme and the smaller property has one but is very dated. Due to the nature of the larger property, which has numerous leading ridges, making installation of a scheme difficult, we have been quoted between $100,000 and $250,000 to complete a basic stock water scheme. Coupled with the cost of fencing, this could easily add $1,500 to $1,700 per hectare cost to our farming enterprise, which would make us an unviable operation if done in a short time frame. So this is an example of one of our extensively grazed deer. The paddock on the right is grazed as a normal method, and the one in the centre gully is only grazed at key periods in the weather. So damage is minimal. As you can see, some of the areas can handle extensive deer grazing, so should have lower priority than some of our other higher risk sites. We're trying to make Glenbrae a generational farming business, but excessive costs, compliance and time constraints may make this unlikely. We need time to continue with the aim of leaving a higher producing, economic and environmentally sustainable farming operation to those who follow us, rather than corporate farming mentality that can have minimal community-based outlooks. Another area of concern is the measurement of slope for cultivation for us. We have limited areas on both properties that will meet the present guidelines, but we follow best practice for winter crops, and when cultivating, we feel it should be a risk-based assessment rather than rules for the best comer of all. So this paddock here, the properties have always had, this was a solid gorse block, so the red areas are above the 20 degree slope, and the blue area is due to the water system, and it was fenced off as winter crop, that whole face, and all that's come back is ragwort and gorse. So cultivation is one of our main methods, along with grazing and chemical, of trying to control our noxious weeds. Both properties had known noxious weed problems and are now under manageable control, but there's still a large resident seed loadings within the soil profile. One of the best management strategies is cultivation in conjunction with other control methods. Fenced off exclusion areas and uncultivated areas will potentially harbour more noxious weeds and continue this weed cycle. If DO to be excluded from all risk areas, we would seriously have to contemplate a change in stock class to dairy grazing or cattle, where we can simply comply with a single inexpensive hot wire, and this could potentially result in higher levels of soil structure and water quality damage and contamination due to heavier size of the animal and mob mentality of the animals in question. We don't consider Glenbrae to be an intensively farmed business. We don't bring any extra stock and farm within the constraints of topography and soils. This plan could penalise their business and community with no appreciable difference in water quality. We need to operate in an environment of trust, not rules, to get the best outcomes for all parties. Thank you.
Thing, Mr. Chairman, I'm taking it that your suggestion is that the two red areas as shown up there would be able to be cultivated.
Yes.
Have you seen the plan? Have you, is that accounted for?
At the moment, we would require consent for those areas as it stands. And in practice, the risk, if it was in a risk-based assessment, the risk of it going of any sediment runoff or phosphate leaching is quite minimal.
And the blue area, I presume that you would not cultivate that
it's
area.
It's not cultivated, no.
Not cultivated. So,
no.
What would you normally do?
If we were required to, we will have to fence it off and it will be planted. But at this stage, it's supplying water to that paddock because there is no water scheme on that property. So at the moment, the lower ditch is the water access point for stock at this present stage. It's a hard papa rock base on the bottom of that creek.
Yeah.
And you there?
Yeah. Yeah, what's the physiographic zones on the Glenbrae properties?
We're in a range of both. So we pick up into the Wyal catchment. So one property's on sandstone. The smaller properties are sandstone with some papa rock and backs onto the railway river, mm-hmm. and the other properties all papa rock.
Okay. Thank you. No, I'm fine, thank you.
Morris?
Just looking at these pictures on page 9, is that from your farm?
No,
it's from
my farm.
Oh, okay. I didn't ask before, but perhaps you could or Richard, about housing a deer in the winter, as well. How feasible is that in terms of the economics? Obviously, it protects the soil and water, but from a deer farmer's economic point of view, is that a feasible thing to do?
So, as part of our system is that navigation, we actually have standoff pads. So, at key times, weather or high intensity things like Simon's weaning times, we utilise them then. Mm. The yearling hinds is approximately. Ranges between 80 to 100 will normally winter on a standoff pad for approximately 5 weeks. In that period of what we've deemed to be the worst climatic risk.
Yeah.
And both properties have got equivalent standoff pads. So they've both got shelter from the prevailing weather. They're on a hard gravel base with a water scheme.
Okay, so this is not one of your.
This is not mine. No. The deer in the habit of behaviour, they can handle that type of system fellow a wee bit different, but we're reds, they get bored basically. So the intensification of standoff pads, you get so long prior to the behavioural matters come into their home, and it's a hierarchy system, so they will push other animals off the feed and to the detriment of that animal.
Yeah, talked about behaviour before. Is anybody able to answer that question about the economic viability of this in general for deer farming operation?
There's a lot of cost involved for potentially a five, depending on that behaviour and feed range of and the type of animal going into it, it's a limited version of how viable or how big a length of time you can leave them in that system. before their behavioural system will cause animal welfare issues.
So no idea of the economics, sorry, but in terms of prevalence, barns or sort of shelter, covered shelter is pretty low in Southland, but it's probably more common in Southland than elsewhere. And then you have standoff pads a little bit more, but it's patchy across the industry is all I can sort of say, but, and I have no idea if that's reflected on economics or other factors.
And you generally consider them to be a good management practice, either a standoff pad or a barn situation like that?
I think in the right situation. So it's a lot of it comes to do with sighting. And then again, you know, what sort of window of period you require them for and whether that impacts on animal behaviour. So, sorry to sort of not give you a clear answer.
We're also producing a game industry type animal, so you have to be careful on the perceived housing.
Yeah.
Of that class of stock.
All right, thank you.
I just want to ask a general question, and I'm happy for either of the three witnesses who actually farm the land to answer this. A common theme in terms of your concern is about with stock exclusion and riparian fencing, and also in relation to cultivation, is the issue of weeds. On any of your farms, do you use occasional grazing of the fenced off areas to control the weeds? Do any of you do that?
Yeah. And a couple of sheep only.
Yeah, so in terms of that, how occasional, what does occasional mean? How often would you do the light grazing or the grazing of the fenced off areas, and how long would you have stock in there to knock the weeds down? Can you give me a feeling for that?
Well, there's a couple of issues with the stocking rate, how. Yeah, it depends what the density of stocking are. You can put a small amount out for a long time or...
Yeah, what do you do?
We tend to have a small amount for a longer time rather than...
So it's more an extensive grazing.
Yeah, a lower footprint. I mean, even a large mob on a short time can create a bigger issue like this. I see that. It's personally just my opinion.
We also do, but we've got some of our plantings that also have been done under the Habitat Trust. So the requirement is for complete exclusion, and they are actually the blocks that we're having the most problem with, particularly ragwort. How's a home for ragwort and gorse and a bit of broom for us?
One of the problems I see with is that the pasture tends to be quite poor quality in those riparian strips, and it can be detrimental to the health of the animals to stay in there for length of period of time, depending on which animals are in there. And if you only have deer, it's not possible.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
I think to recover, you know, if retrospectively people are allowed to regraze areas that have been excluded, that becomes the real issue around, you know, how you do it and how you get it back to a great, you know, a utilisable thing without detrimental to the stock.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks. It's just, I asked the question because every region in New Zealand is grappling with this, and some regional plans in other areas allow sort of what I'd call mob stocking of fenced off areas for a short period of time just to knock the weeds down. So I was just curious if you actually did that. It appears you use a more extensive grazing system. All right, is there anything you'd like to